Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Lennox McGee.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. I'm Peter Maverick. I'm doing a little bit of solo flight today because Miss Amy Matheny is traveling. So you're just going to get me, the queer, in your ear. How's it going, everybody? I hope you enjoyed our very first show. I know we were a little gratuitous with the swears this last show around, but we've got a wonderful show for you today. We've got comic Poppy Champlin, who is just a hoot and a half. She's a gal who knows what she's talking about, and she does some great impressions. She's really funny. She's got some great stories about folks. Amy interviewed her, so we're going to hear her and Amy together dishing, pardon me, while I sip a drink of water. See, that's something we couldn't do on the radio before. We got in trouble if we did things like that, but not here on the Queercast, on the podcast going on in Chicago. Poppy's coming up next week. I shouldn't even tell you about next week's show. I'm going to save that for later. We've got some great prizes for you, though. I'm going to tell you about those in just a little bit here. I think I'm going to tell you about them after the interview. I think that's how this show looks. Next week, we're going to have the return of Lennox the Intern. Lennox is going to be joining us with his tip of the week. We're also going to have Jerry Potter joining us with What's Happening with Jerry. I think that's the name of his segment. I don't even know if we've decided what the name of his segment is. We've got Jerry Potter coming to us. And this weekend for you Chicago folks, for you peeps up in the Chi-IL, Heartless Bitch Entertainment is having a great show called I Love Madonna. It spins Saturday, August 12th. There's going to be all kinds of performances going on there. We've got DJ Sky in the back, VJ Riley York, who is very well known for his Madonna nights at Berlin. So Riley York is going to be pumping up the Madge tunes up front. A couple of drink specials going on there. I Love Madonna. That's at Spin Nightclub right at the corner of Gay and Gay at Belmont in Halston. And for those of you who may not be in Chicago, but who may be in the surrounding areas, August 26th and 27th at Six Guns Ranch in Crete, Illinois. Six Guns Ranch and Arena is the Windy City Rodeo. Now, folks, who doesn't love a guy and a gal in cowboy boots? Okay. There is so much that happens on there. There's circus, there's all kinds of events, there's all kinds of great stuff going on. It's a wonderful rodeo facility. They've got this great bleacher seating. It's an open-air arena. There's a whole vendor mall. You can get food, you can get drink, any kind of drink you want. Lots of different things going on. It's the IGRA, the Illinois Gay Radio Association, putting on this wonderful Windy City Rodeo 2006. For some details, you can go to ilgra.com. You can check out the schedule of events, check out how you can get back and forth to the rodeo. There's a bunch of shuttle details. There's a bunch of shuttles coming from various pickup and drop-off points in Chicago. So Windy City Rodeo, if you haven't experienced it, even if you're not a cowboy or a cow gal or a cow lady or a cow girl, definitely check out the Windy City Rodeo. That's coming up August 26th and 27th. And that's something that folks, if you're not in Chicago, you can maybe make a trip to. Maybe make a little day trip to, a weekend trip to. And you can stay in Chicago. You don't have to stay in Crete, Illinois. You can stay in Chicago and then take the shuttle bus back and forth so you can still enjoy the nightlife and do all that fun stuff. So without further ado, We've got a couple of messages, and then we're going to come back with Amy Matheny and comic Poppy Champlin after this.
Here's your kid's meal.
Oh, thank you.
Don't forget, that comes with a free prize.
A pony!
What do you say, Maggie?
Thank you!
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Turn left on Ashland Avenue.
Whoa, this GPS thing is amazing.
I know.
We've never gotten to Debbie's this fast.
Turn right on Wood Place.
Look, there's her house.
And remember, her boyfriend's name is Kurt, not Chris. Chris was her last boyfriend.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
The doctor will see you now.
Oh, my appointment's not for another 10 minutes.
Well, the doctor's running a little ahead today.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Hey folks, we want to tell you about our giveaways real quick. We've got some fantastic prizes for you this week. We've got a pair of tickets to BB King and his fantastic guitar named Lucille to see BB King at Ravinia on August the 14th. Got a pair to that. And speaking of bees, because I love alliteration, not just BB King, but Buddy Guy. I didn't really realize he was still making concerts and doing all that kind of good stuff. But you can go see Buddy Guy on the 22nd at Ravinia. I've got a pair of tickets to each. All you need to do is send us an email to wcmgpromo@aol.com. Just send us an email, wcmgpromo@aol.com. Make sure you include your name, your snail mail address, that's your home address, and your phone number, because we need to be able to contact you just to let you know that, hey, we're sending you out those tickets. We're going to send them out to you by mail. So once again, that's wcmgpromo@aol.com. If you'd like to win tickets to see BB King on the 14th of August at Ravinia, or to see Buddy Guy on the 22nd at Ravinia. We got a pair of tickets to each of them. So send us an email, wcmgpromo@aol.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, flavor.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, from VH1 to A&E to Oprah to the Atlantis cruises, she can cross all boundaries, all barriers, all audiences. It's lesbian comedian Poppy Champlin, and she's been spending a lot of time in P-Town. I'm thrilled that she can be on with us tonight. Hey, Poppy, how are you?
Hey, good. Thank you so much for having me on, Ames.
How's Provincetown treating you this season?
Provincetown is gorgeous. I just went out on a beautiful bike ride for a sunset bike ride, and it was like we were, you know, by the beach, and then as soon as the sun went down, it was like so gorgeous, and we get on our bikes to leave, and then there was a gorgeous moonrise like 2 seconds later. So it was like, wow.
Now, do you feel like Provincetown is like the gay Sesame Street? Like, you're just walking down this one street, and it's just so gay, and you know everybody, and I mean, literally, it's like, you know, it does. It feels like gay Sesame Street to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you do see a lot of big birds around out there, but through that. But, yeah, it is one street. You do get a little, that's why going out for bike rides to the dunes and seeing different you know, areas of private town is good to keep you a little bit sane, you know.
And are there a lot of straight gawkers? Do you think you still deal with that?
No, there's tons of straight people in town right now.
Yeah?
Tons. It's like, you know, when I flyer people, I'm like, you know, I see gay people, and I have to, like, I see lesbians, and I have to track them down and stalk them and be like, hey, you want to come to the show? You know, like, I mean, I flyer the straight people, too, but not the ones with kids and not, like, ones that look like Republicans. And, you know, you have to be sort of picky about who you flyer.
Those Republicans are lost if they're in Provincetown, probably most of them.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Unless they're the log cabins.
Yeah. They're here. I've seen them.
Now, for people who don't know what you're talking about, like with you know, trying to pass out flyers and things, like literally there's like drag shows going on in the middle of the day in Provincetown. There are comedy shows. There are music reviews. There is something cultural or entertainment oriented happening from morning, noon till night.
Well, I wouldn't go so far to say from morning, noon till night every day. Usually specific weekends may have more of that. Like this weekend we're coming into now is not a specific weekend. Like last weekend was family pride weekend. So then there was things going on morning through night for families and gay families and things like that. You know, and then women's weekend, yeah, definitely everything starts morning through night. But certain weekends, you know, the shows won't start up till, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 at night.
I remember my first time to P-Town, I was standing outside a club and there was a guy's picture and then the guy's headshot made up as Marilyn Monroe. And there was a straight guy with his little daughter and his little boy, and this was on like on a sandwich board, and the little girl and little boy were like looking at it, and I heard the father say, "Now this is a guy and he does Marilyn Monroe." Like it was just the most normal thing in the world. And I was like, I love America that we have a town like this, that there's a sandwich board, a drag show going on at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's being described by a straight guy to his kids who are under 6 years old, you know. It's like, that's America.
That's great. That is great.
So who influenced you to dive into this wacky world of comedy? I mean, who were the comedians and that really, you know, tickled your fancy and made you think, I could do that. I want to be that.
I think originally Lucille Ball. I don't want to really say how old I am, but I used to watch Lucy all the time.
That's okay. You know, she's still on today, you know, so you could be watching her and be 10.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And Lucy was like totally an inspiration to me to be able to be wacky and, you know, have the permission for a woman to be strong like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I didn't know that at the time. You know, I didn't know that when I was watching it, but that's what was going on. And then when I got into college, I was playing basketball, and there was no professional women's team then. So it wasn't like if I kept playing basketball that I would play basketball for the rest of my life and make some money.
Right.
So I had to, you know, get a degree in something. So I chose theater, and I was always, you know, even in basketball, I was like the cheerleader on the bus and making everybody, you know, leading the cheers and. You know, I was just funny. I was able to say the right thing at the right time. And then in college, I got into the theater department, and I was given, you know, they knew I was funny. They could see it, so they encouraged it. And I got this funny role in this show in one of the cabarets, and I can sing as well. And so I got, I was a stand-up fish, basically. It was a show sponsored by the oceanography department. And so I did a fish stick. I did a stand-up fish routine, you know, kelp, kelp. Is there a sturgeon in the house? You know, migration. God, I almost conked out. I almost fell on my back. What's the matter?
Which is old school.
No, which is way old school. And people just fell out of their chairs. You know, they just laughed so hard. They were spitting up their food, and then they're, you know. And I just thought, oh, my God, if this is a viable way to make a living, who wouldn't do this? This is what I'm going to do. And, you know, the comedy train was totally on the move at that time. And so I just was like, I'm doing it. So I just started going for it, and I've never stopped.
What is the conscious decision when you're lesbian to be out as a comedian? We all have heard how tough and how male the comedy world is. So what was that decision like for you?
That was really hard because I started in Rhode Island. And, you know, I started with all them guys up in North Providence and Providence, you know, and them guys. And they would have ate me up had I been gay then. They wouldn't have listened to me, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you have to, first you got to get them to listen to you. Then you got to get them to like you. Then you got to get them to pay you, you know, and have you back. So, and that's where I started, you know, and there wasn't a lot of gay comedy, you know, when I was first starting. And so I just hit the road and, you know, I went to Chicago and just started doing all the clubs in Chicago. And I wasn't out at all. You know, I was gay, but I was not out in my comedy. And only started flirting with the idea of coming out just minimally. And finally, I was in L.A. when I went to L.A., and I was just like, you know, I went to L.A. to get my sitcom, and it just wasn't coming right away. So I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take being on stage and changing the pronouns to my boyfriend or he and they and being vague about it all. And therefore, it made me nervous, and I would turn red if I, you know, had a Freudian slip on stage. And it was just like, forget it. I can't keep this up. So finally I came out at the Improv at one of the Gender Blender shows, and or was it a Project Being the Food show? And I came out with, you know, big flying colors, and they loved it. They loved it. The audience loved it. And like, I immediately got booked in Vegas to do the Improv in Vegas. And so I was awarded like immediately for coming out. And so I just have stayed up.
That's fantastic.
But I don't play the straight clubs anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that. But you're fully embraced by the gay community, and you know, you're a woman among men, I would assume, on these Atlantis cruises. Is that intimidating for you, or is that totally liberating?
Oh my God, it was so intimidating at first. I was so scared. I just didn't know how they would take it, you know. And now, you know, once I got the first laugh and the second and the third, you know, then I was able to feel, you know, get my sea legs and stand up there and be strong. And now they totally embrace me, and now I can harass them now, which is, you know, something I was afraid to do that, but now I can do that even, and they like that.
The gay men love for the lesbians to heckle them really deep down, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Now, have you done any of your Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, have you done any of your fish stick comedy on the Atlantis cruises?
Only at dinner tables.
I think they should see how far you've come, you know?
Yeah. I do, too.
Now,
I took that fish stick to New York. Huh?
Yeah, you still have physics in New York. Now, you talk about you were in Chicago. We're studying with the Second City. And since we produce this show out of Chicago, though people listen all over, definitely the show has a bit of a Chicago flair to it. What is your favorite thing about Chicago, and what would be your least favorite thing about Chicago? And you cannot say the cold. So your favorite thing and your least favorite thing about the time that you spent here.
Let's see. I think my favorite thing at the time I spent there was
she really thinks there's a right answer here. I think you think there's a right answer.
Well, there's so many.
You can name more than one.
Oh, okay. Because the first thing that I loved so much about Chicago when I got there, which was amazing, was Second City, you know, sort of really opened its arms to me to really get me there. Mm-hmm. You know, and they opened their arms and their doors, and, you know, I walked right in. And not that I excelled in improv, but immediately all the comedy clubs opened up in Chicago, too. It was 88, 89, and all the clubs opened up. There was the Improv, there was the Funny Firm, there was Picture Rising Star, there was Zany's, And they were all, you know, within a mile of each other and less. And you could play them all. And it was great. You know, it was a really great time for me to meet all the other great comedians that were touring the country. And so it was a great learning. And all the suburbs all had comedy clubs. I mean, it was like a feeding frenzy for me, for comedians.
It fostered a ton of great talent, too, this city. Continues to.
It really did.
Now, what about your least favorite thing? And you can't say the weather unless it truly was just the weather.
Huh. My least favorite thing. I don't know if I had a least favorite thing.
See, that's why we think we're the first city. We don't have to be the second city. That's why you don't have any least favorite thing. You can't think of one besides the climate, right?
Yeah, there really wasn't. It was you know, the subway and the transit is just beautiful. There's no, you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, for me, I mean, truthfully, I totally drank a lot when I was there, and I, it was bad that the clubs are open till 4 and 5 in the morning for me, you know.
Yeah.
That was tough, you know, because it's tough to say no when you're having so much fun.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we had our arms open for you and have many other times. Hey, I want to talk about, you have opened for and been on the same bill as a lot of big name comedians and personalities. If I just name some of the comedians, or people, just tell me what you thought about them. It just can be really brief, but, tell me what, if somebody says Ray Romano to you, what do you think of?
Well, I was on a show called Fools to Love with Ray Romano in New York City, and we taped it at, I forget what the name of the club was, but it was a TV show, and he was very cordial. He was a family man at that time. He hadn't made it big yet, so it was before he had become Ray Romano, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun. He was like a blue collar guy.
And how about Dennis Leary? Speaking of blue collar guys,
oh man, Dennis Leary. I really love Dennis Leary. At that time, I was still working in Rhode Island, and I would travel to Boston to do some open mics. And then I started booking rooms myself. I started booking like 4 rooms down in Rhode Island, Connecticut, and I started booking comedians, and I would bring them in for $200-$300 for the night. And Dennis Leary was one of them, and so I had a lot of contact with Dennis Leary back then, and he was a great guy, and he actually judged the first comedy contest that I was ever in Newport, Rhode Island, and he came up to me, and he's like, you know, that's not comedy. You know, I was doing my fish sticks. I'm like, yeah, it is bullshit, you know? He's like, no, that's not comedy. I'm like, yes, it is. People are laughing. He's like, no, you got to write jokes. Those are puns, you know? He kind of let me know that if I'm going to do this, I got to do it right. So,
how about Bill Maher?
Bill Maher? Bill Maher is he's a nice guy. He can get a little bit, you know, sexist, you know, with his...
Yeah, he comes off as like a likable prick, and so I'm just curious if he is kind of a likable prick.
Yes, that is exactly.
and I can't get enough of him, which is kind of, you know, I guess speaks volume about me and my sexuality. But
he can be so irreverent and politically so right on. I love it.
How about Rosie? You know, Rosie O'Donnell. You've worked with her, obviously. What are your thoughts? What have you been your thoughts on Rosie and her career?
Yeah, Rosie's like, she's really been instrumental in really my career, because she gave me my first television break. She put me on her VH1 Stand Up Spotlight, and that was a good break for me. And she really liked my comedy, and she's sort of, you know, and then she would come and see me here in P-Town, and then she, you know, started the cruise stuff, and she definitely wanted me on the cruise. So, you know, she's just been really, she's been great to me.
That's really amazing, because she wasn't out during that whole VH1 spotlight either. So, I mean, you know.
No, not at all.
Now, of course, you won America's Funniest Woman on Joan Rivers' show. Joan Rivers, I mean, she's just a classic, isn't she? I mean, everybody can just learn from her. I mean, she's kind of like the mama besides Lucille Ball. What were your impressions of Joan, and any funny stories about Joan Rivers?
Yeah, well, Joan is right up there with Lucy as far as being my teacher.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when I was still in Rhode Island, first of all, I started doing an impression of her, and this is when she was hot. And then I went ahead and learned her entire album, memorized it. And not only did I memorize it, but I put on a boa and a dress and heels, and I went into a hotel, and I wanted to do a show and get paid, and they let me. And I would do an impression of her doing her entire monologue, and it was hysterical because she's hysterical. And I, of course, have no idea that that was totally illegal and you're not supposed to be doing that. But it taught me, you know, she taught me basically by just me mimicking her how to be funny and deliver a joke and get the timing down and wait for the laugh. And, you know, it was like, and then I won American, I almost won a Joan Rivers lookalike contest in L.A. on her late night show. And then, you know, many years later, then I won America's Funniest Real Woman on her daytime show, which is just
wow,
so ironic, you know. And then she was just like, oh, I heard that you were on my show back in, you know, whatever year it was. And what happened? I'm like, yeah, she wasn't even there, which was too bad. But it was just, she's been right there, too, as far as my career.
She'll be there the entire time, you know, because I just saw her a number of years ago, and the woman is literally becoming Madame Trousseau. I mean, she's the tiniest little thing, too. I mean, you know this, but uh-huh. she's so damn tiny, and she was like kind of tilted forward like she's walking in Chicago wind, you know? It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like the face and like just kind of get a little bit of a propensity of a tilt forward and just, but lovely, you know, like the loveliest woman. Well, you know, it's so great that these people like Dennis and Rosie and Joan, you know, really have guided your way, and now you're producing Queer Queens of Comedy and been taking that show around. Who are some of the ladies that are on Queer Queens of Comedy? You know, who are on the bill with you, and that you're really, I think, now given a leg up to?
Well, right now, the one I had in Chicago was my first one, so I was really happy with it. It was me, Michelle Ballin, and Kumthna Kumar.
Yep.
Who is a regular, you know, lesbian in Chicago comedian. And then the one in Alexandria, Virginia that we're doing August 25th, I'm having me, Michelle Ballin, and Jenny McNulty, who is here in P-Town right now, and I kind of sort of helped her get that job, and she's just doing amazing right now. So I guess I am helping her along.
And you're going to be on an Atlantis cruise in September to the Mediterranean, and then you're going to South Africa to Cape Town for a gay comedy festival. I mean, you're global. I mean, this is becoming very big, from the International Gay Games to, you know, the Queer Queens of Comedy, which I'm sure will have many more interpretations. So people should definitely check out your website. Why don't you tell everybody your website?
Well, the website is poppycockprod.com. Which is kind of like short for Poppycock Productions, so it's just poppycockprod.com.
And that's poppycockprod.com. And I love that we can say cock now because we're on a queer cast and it's a podcast. We don't have any FCC regulations. We can say the pussy, say the cock, we can say all that.
You can always see the popcorn thing.
Yeah, well, it could be, but I don't want it to be. I want it to just be cock, and that I can say it. After 8 years of radio, I actually want to be able to say that word and be on a gay radio show.
Yeah.
It's the liberation that's happening to me, Poppy. It's huge. It's really large. You know what, Poppy?
Great.
I so appreciate you being on, and I hope people will go and catch you. You're a class act, but you're a hell of a funny lady. And check out her website, poppycockprod.com, and see all the places she's going to be. Because, hey, folks, if she can be in Chicago, she can be in Virginia, she can be in Provincetown, she can be floating out in the Mediterranean and also in Cape Town.
Right.
Chances are, if you're listening to her, she's probably coming somewhere near you. And run, don't walk. Be sure to get your butt in a seat. And Poppy, come back on the show anytime you like.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we got to do it. I appreciate it.
Wow, our first week as a podcast only. I'm so thankful that you've all come and downloaded this show. And the biggest thing you can do for us right now is tell a friend. If you love what you hear, tell folks about it. Please spread the word around. We need your help in getting our show out there and telling folks about it. So I hope that you enjoyed the show. We have so much good stuff coming up for you. Next week is going to be a super music week. We're going to have Nicole Wells, a wonderful, soulful cabaret singer, and she does more than cabaret. She has house music in her past. She's got so many great things to talk about. We have an interview with her that's the early part of the week. And in the later part of the week, the super sexy stud himself, Ari Gold. I had the chance to sit down and chat with him. So you're going to hear a wonderful interview with me and Ari Gold. He's so hot. I was so intimidated talking with him, I just have to say. I really was. He's so pretty. I was thinking this gorgeous man is at the other end of this, and I wish I had a video camera right now. I wish we were doing some sort of video chat. It was so dirty. But it was such a wonderful week to have you here. It was great being with you. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you continue to listen to us here at Windy City Queercast. And folks, I want to tell you, please support our sponsors because they support us and our community. So this program has been brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it. And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Folks, that's our show for this week. I'm Peter Maverick. Please feel free to comment on any of our shows at windycityqueercast.com. Email us to win some of those great tickets at wcmgpromo@aol.com for any of those giveaways. And the next Queercast will be early next week. So check it out. I think about Tuesday evening we'll have it. So don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podjo and Limelight Networks.
I love it.